You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is Good Morning Liberty.
Well, what is going on, all of our liberty-loving friends? Welcome back to another semi-fantastic episode of Good Morning Liberty. Name's Chuck.
What's up, man? How's
it going? Across from me is Nathaniel Paul Thurston, running for president, I hear. Are you announcing that on today's show?
I'm going to announce tomorrow morning. I got something important to say about it. Can't tell anyone.
Oh, sorry.
What it is.
Did I let the mouse out of the cheese bag?
I'm going to... Yes. That's exactly how I would have described it as well.
That's right.
This is Good Morning Liberty, where we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week when we want to.
And presidential announcements.
Yeah, presidential stuff. Mm-hmm. We're going to just do a complete debate recap today. That's it. No, I'm kidding. I have not seen a single clip from the debate last night.
Wait, there was a debate last night?
Yeah.
And Trump held his Iowa town hall.
Yep. Yep.
How many people do you think watch the debate versus watch Trump's town hall on Fox News?
I might say 500,000 people watch the debate on CNN. I have no clue, but maybe a million.
And then 20 million people turned into Trump.
Probably 20 million for Trump's thing.
I wish we could get the numbers on that.
Well, I'm sure we will eventually. Yeah. But yeah, there was a debate. I'm kidding. This is not a debate recap. I have not seen a single clip from it. I didn't even watch a clip from Trump's thing, the town hall last night. Because honestly, I just don't care. It's all just so fake. I just don't care. Charlie watched some of you watched some of the Trump thing last night.
I did.
Yeah. How? Tell me how.
He just gave the same answer, basically. I had it recorded and I spent about 15 minutes kind of skimming through there. I didn't watch the whole thing. I didn't sit down.
Oh, we've already got the data, by the way. Thank you, Tactical Warlock. 4.3 million people watched Trump on Fox, and roughly 2.5 million people watched the CNN debate between Haley and DeSantis.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just didn't want to let the misinformation hang out there for too long.
Yeah.
Go back to what you were saying.
I skimmed through it.
Okay.
I didn't sit down and watch it. I didn't, you know.
Did you find it satisfying? Did you learn a lot of new stuff?
No.
No?
I heard a lot of excuses from Trump because they asked him some tough questions.
Did they?
Which I thought was fair. Yeah, they asked him like, okay, you know, you said that we were going to have the greatest economy and we were going to pay down the debt and do those things. And Trump went on a little tangent about how he was the only president in the last 72 years who never started a war.
Okay.
And that right up until COVID, he had the greatest economy in the history of American economy.
And he was about to.
And he was about to, because we became energy independent. And we were leading the world in energy production.
Mm.
So we were about to sell gas. I think he said gas was like $1.78 a gallon.
That was during COVID, but
it's pushing it. But that's what he claimed. And we were about to start selling energy to the world to pay down our debts. But he said, then this little thing, COVID, happened.
Mm-hmm.
They pushed him on Dr. Fauci. They're like, well, you know, he was part of your administration. He was like, he wasn't that important in my administration. I'm like, hang on a second. I remember watching the press conferences every day.
Every day.
You were up there with Dr. Fauci and you were saying, listen to the experts. You were up there saying, listen to the experts too. You know? But he kept saying, well, he became much more important after my presidency, after Biden came in.
Mm-hmm.
He became much more important.
Started doing vaccine mandates and things like that.
And he's like, I never shut down the economy. I told the governors to do what they needed to do. And he's like, and we had some good governors. It's like North Dakota or South Dakota.
Did he say Florida? Did he say Ron DeSantis?
No. Well, he did say Florida. Yeah, he's like in Florida and Tennessee, which I think Tennessee shut down, but...
Not that much.
We didn't shut down as much as other places.
Not like a lot of other places.
Anyway.
Yeah.
He basically had the same answer for every question. He had this little spiel that he went on about how he was the greatest president in the world anybody's ever seen. He saved thousands of lives.
Of course.
He did.
Yeah, just him.
By signing the TRI Act, by allowing people to euthanize themselves, essentially.
Think that's exactly what that is.
Allowed to take experimental medication.
The right to try, yeah.
The right to try, yeah.
Which people should have. If you're...
They should, and that was a good thing that he did, but he said that I saved thousands of lives by doing that.
Well, we appreciate him for that.
Yeah.
Anyhow, you see...
That was the recap.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, and I'm bored right now even thinking about it at the moment.
He called Ron De Sanctimonious.
That's good.
He said to sanctimonious up there. He said he's not worried about any of the polling. Nikki Haley surging.
Yeah.
Chris, he wasn't worried about Chris Christie saying that. Chris Christie said he was going to do anything he could to stop Trump from being the next president?
Well, Christie dropped out.
Yeah, but he also said that he was going to do everything he could to keep
Aftershocks
Trump.
Aftershocks were felt all the way here in Tennessee.
From the drop. Did you see him say that he was going to do anything to keep Trump, Trump from being the next president?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
No. Good luck to him. I don't know. Important announcement, I guess, by someone. We'll see. What do you think it's going to be, Charlie? What's your money on? And people in the Fed Haters Club in the live group hanging out with us right now. Rand Paul sounded off. The text here says, I've stayed out of the Republican presidential primary so far, but I've seen enough. That's why tomorrow morning I will have something important to say. Don't miss it.
Mm.
Now this,
he clearly hasn't seen enough. Otherwise he would have just said it.
Yeah. He needs to see a little bit more.
He needs to see a little bit more tonight.
Yeah.
Before tomorrow morning. That's a great marketing tactic. He's trending.
Actually trending on like the trending part of it. Not just the for you. He's on the actual trending part.
Like worldwide.
1.6 million views on this so far since he posted it 2 hours ago. Here's what he said.
Which is kind of unusual for me. Hey, everybody. As you know, I've been pretty quiet about the presidential race, which is kind of unusual for me. But tune in tomorrow morning and I've got something very important to say on the presidential race.
Okay, that's it. Mm. It's a 13-second video. Says absolutely nothing. Except for that tomorrow.
Lots of speculation out there.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing lots of tweets of him being somebody's VP pick. I've seen them say Vivek, DeSantis, Trump.
Any of them.
I haven't seen Nikki Haley. I don't know.
No, that's not. Would you vote for Nikki Haley?
I've seen people say that he's going to enter the race. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't see that at all. I put money on that one.
I've seen people say... He's going to endorse someone.
That would be the simplest answer is that he's just going to endorse someone. Who do you think he would endorse? I want your money where your mouth is right now. Only we don't have to have any money and you don't actually have to put anything in your mouth. What do you think? Who do you think he's going to endorse?
Well, if I go by history, it'll be Trump. He endorsed Trump last time.
The easiest answer is that it's going to be Trump. We were talking beforehand.
The problem, here's the thing though. It's difficult to say, to know what he's... It's difficult to speculate because the words in his tweet are interesting when he says, I've seen enough. Seen enough of what?
Could just mean he's seen enough of President Joe Biden's terrible economy or whatever, or the lunatic left or whatever type of Mad Libs you want to throw in front of it. So that could be the case. Endorsing Trump would be the smart political move because... If anyone on the Republican side is going to win, it's going to be Trump. And so endorsing Trump would be a smart political move because he would be the most likely Republican to be the next president. And that would help you. Maybe he gets a cabinet position or something like that.
He's kind of growing his hair out like Trump.
Yeah.
It's blown in the wind, very similar.
And pretty gray. He's he must be getting up there. Hmm. Actually, he's not getting up there because he's the exact same age as my mom. So young, still very young.
Extremely.
If he was Trump's VP pick, would you vote for Trump?
No.
Really?
No. I still can't vote for Trump.
Really?
I can't do it.
If Rand Paul were his VP pick, what do people say in the live group?
Inside my soul, I don't think I could do it.
Hmm.
Although, do you think Rand Paul stopped Trump from war, essentially?
I do. I think that I do think that he calmed him down on Iran quite a bit. A lot of libertarians were giving Rand Paul a tough time because he was buddy-buddy with Trump during that time. I actually liked it a lot. I liked the fact that Paul was staying close enough to him to whisper in his ear every once in a while. It's actually very beneficial to have that. A couple people say, let's see, we got a yep. People saying they're going to vote Libertarian Party. Can I just vote for Rand Paul?
Sure, you can.
Could write him in. I wrote him in. And 2016, you know, I didn't vote for Trump and I didn't vote for Gary Johnson. Mm-mm. I just wrote him Rand Paul. I did vote for Jorgensen in the last election. Technically, I voted for Spike Cohen. So, but technically.
Because you wouldn't ever vote for a woman.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I understand. How crazy that would be. I just want everyone to be clear. I was voting for the man that was on the ticket.
Yeah.
So.
Who now has a pet cat? I've seen.
Great.
Yeah. I've seen him go viral on Facebook and Twitter for this cat.
Oh, okay.
He's had like millions of views and thousands of comments.
You're talking about Spike Cohen.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check out his cat.
Yeah.
I would vote for Trump if Paul was the VP pick, but I don't think that's going to be the announcement. I don't think it could be like in my libertarian dream world. That sounds fun, but we'll see. Maybe it's just going to be an endorsement. Maybe he's going to be a VP pick. Maybe it's going to be nothing. Who knows?
Bailey said that she's a woman, and so she's not going to vote because she's standing up for what she believes in.
She's holding to her principles.
Which is the repeal of the 19th.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
If she does vote, she's writing in Jesus.
Okay.
So.
I like Jesus.
Hernandez? Like, what's his last name? Oh, Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
He's all right with me.
Yeah. He's good.
All right. I want to get into something we talked about. This is something that we should talk about here. Yesterday, Charlie, I don't know if you remember, but we talked about Sally Girl.
I do remember that.
And so Sally Girl, if you weren't here and if you haven't seen it on Twitter, she asked about libertarians. And she said, talk to me about libertarians. They scare the s out of me with what appears to be extreme selfishness, but maybe it's something else. What am I missing? Why do they seem so hostile to the idea of the common good? Now, we responded to her in our episode yesterday. And I cut up a nice little 7-minute video. And since you couldn't comment on her post because people were being mean to her, I retweeted, quote tweeted, and put the video in there. And she watched it. And she responded. And if you didn't see the video or if you didn't listen to yesterday, we were civil. We were nice. We legitimately tried to answer the question. We legitimately tried to make our case for libertarianism and why libertarians believe what they believe. We weren't combative. We didn't call people names. We weren't churlish at all. And we made something that we wanted her to watch and consider the answers that we gave. And so anyhow, she said, I don't know who you are, but you've actually made me cry. Now, this has always been a goal of mine when I respond to people on Twitter, but I am surprised that it took us saying something nice for that to happen. She said, I don't know who you are, but you've actually made me cry. Thank you. Thank you for seeing me, for noticing my words. Thank you for not crucifying me. Thank you for educating me. Your kindness and respect mean so much to me. I hope you have a fantastic day. So Charlie, let me ask you something. Is this how we should try and talk to people on the internet?
Yes.
Okay.
The way we did?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I think we did.
See, this is like my most important conversation to have today.
I think we did a decent job.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's move on to something else.
I think we did. No, I was reading here. She took a test and she came back moderate. She's on the Liberty side. I was just catching up on what she was talking about. And look, I think you have to treat people as people, especially when they're asking genuine questions.
Especially then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When people are genuinely curious, you don't try to beat them up. Like, especially when someone's coming with an open mind saying, hey, help me out here.
And given the benefit of the doubt and the way that they ask the question.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. If she had not done that, if she had asked the question in a different way, like, what's up with these dumbass libertarians?
She might have made dumb bleep of the week.
People like this scare the bleep out of me with their extreme selfishness. Why are they so hostile to the common good and they want people to die every day that could be saved? Now, if she would have asked a question like that, we probably would have responded in a different way, I would bet. So there's two things here. One, the way that you ask a question or the way that you start off a conversation does determine most of the time the way the rest of the conversation is going to go. Trust me, I've talked to my wife about this several times. Okay. The manner in which you address a situation, you're going to elicit a particular response from the person that you're talking to, depending on the way that you ask a question. But does that have to be the case? Because most people aren't going to ask questions like this. Most people are going to do what we do on Twitter, which is call people names and make fun of them.
Well,
so should we be the bigger people and try to respond to people like this all the time? Would that actually move the needle?
Well, I think we responded the way we did because of she seemed genuinely curious.
Yeah.
If you're talking to someone who just tells you that you're wrong, and they're not going to listen to a single word. They're only listening to respond rather than to actually try to understand something. Then I've always taken the position that you're going to argue with that person, not to try to convince that person, but for anybody who might be reading the conversation. You know, they could read the conversation and they could be like, huh, what the Liberty person's saying makes more sense than what this idiot's saying, calling people names. So I think you should always try to be respectful for the most part.
Keep that in mind while we go through other things.
Unless it's people like Robert Reich and people who are knowingly profiting.
And manipulating
people, the narcissist.
But what about the people who follow him who could see the response? And if we crafted the response in a more manipulative way, we could actually get them to listen and truly hear what we're saying instead of just seeing it as a fight. You know what I mean? So she says that libertarians scare her. And I sent a little email blast with this exchange earlier. And I said at the end of it that we need to realize that most people are like Sally Girl. They're scared. Even if they approach the situation by name calling and whatever else, they're actually just scared. Maybe libertarians are scared of a tyrannical government destroying everyone's lives. Mm. And that's why we talk about things the way that we do. And maybe other people who call people names on the internet are also scared about what would happen, but they don't understand that they are seeing things the wrong way, or we haven't done a good enough job making our case with them. When I saw her response, I was like, man, this is the way to do it. You know, we could have, not that she's going to go join the LP or whatever. I don't expect that because I haven't even done that, you know, but what if that sticks in her mind and later on she has an epiphany, you know, and like, oh, I see people saying crazy stuff about libertarians, but you know, actually these one guys said that while this sounds good, it could make things worse. And what if there was a way that things could actually be better and it's not these things? And, you know, a couple of years from now, she's a listener and she's in the Fed Haters Club.
I did see her say that she has a lot of reading to do.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to do some reading and educate herself.
Yeah.
That's where it starts, man. You pick up a book by Ron Paul or or Thomas Sowell, even Milton Friedman, whatever. You start diving into some stuff and you're like, oh, this makes sense.
What was it that broke through for you that caused you to be a libertarian or go down that path?
It was Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was his debates. And then is it Define Liberty? Defined Liberty?
Liberty Defined.
Liberty Defined. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I read it. Liberty Defined. And so that's kind of what led me down that path.
Can I tell you what mine was? I've said it before on the show, but do you remember what it is?
Well, we all want to know what Nate's is. Yeah.
No, it was
please
nine,
tell us.
It was 9/11.
No, tell it. Please tell us.
It was 9/11 conspiracy theories.
Don't hold up.
I was a 9/11 truther for a little bit. For, you know, a rough patch.
Who got you into that?
YouTube.
Okay.
You know, I ran into some video.
You just ran into some misinformation and you see what misinformation does? Misinformation creates libertarians.
The question of, you know, whether or not jet fuel can melt steel beams, it's still, you know, it boggles the mind. No, that's not. So I moved on from that because I've also accepted that I don't know any more than anyone else does, really.
Except for the people who did it.
Except for them. Except for all those contractors that helped pour the concrete, you know, I heard years this, beforehand.
Real quick on conspiracy theories, I heard this thing about how, if you have kids listening, please, this is a fair warning to kids, okay? My son's not here, so I'm free to say this. If you have kids listening, you got to pause or skip, whatever you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard...
Neither.
I heard someone say that, you know, think about 9/11 or what, how many people would they have to get involved to like all say the same story? And then someone brought up a good point about Santa Claus. How many people are in
everyone.
On that?
Everyone sells that lie.
NORAD's got a Galdorn tracker you can look up.
That's government misinformation right there. And we're all like, oh yeah, government, yeah. Give me that. Tell my kids this misinformation.
The Tooth Fairy, you know? Parker started losing teeth, which is fun. It's fun age.
That's great.
And man,
do you do the Tooth Fairy thing?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a parent, and so my non-parenting brain, I can say whatever I want and like I would be different.
You'll never understand.
You know,
but I'll never truly understand.
I'm gonna stick by my idea that telling your kids that there's like this. Let's go with Santa Claus, like a mythical person up at the North Pole, and these people that can create any good that you want in the world, anything you want. It doesn't matter. There's no money needs to change hands, nothing like that. You just believe, and they can create, and everyone gets everything that they want on this magical day in December. It sounds like a little precursor for them thinking Karl Marx had good ideas.
What about Jesus? You believe? You have to have faith?
I'm not getting physical goods and services from a mythical Jesus running around, I'll tell you that. I'm talking about economics right now.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's dangerous.
It's fun. It's so fun. That's what makes it, like, that's the Christmas magic.
I gotcha.
Like, when you see, like, if
it's
you were...
It's too late to be talking Christmas.
Listen, why don't you come next year? Okay.
I've got nieces and nephews.
Stay the night. Help us make cookies. Stay the night with us. And in the morning when he comes down the stairs.
Yeah.
And he sees the fact that Santa ate the cookies and drank the milk. And his face lights up and he goes, oh my God. And he starts telling you the story about how he came down the chimney and the reindeer food's going out the back door.
Mm-hmm.
The reindeer food, they must have ate outside. And he's telling you this whole story and his face is all lit up. That's what it's about. Mm. Selfish for parents.
It's just to make you have a good time.
I feel so much joy.
Because you could just give them presents and they'd be fine.
I wouldn't have to keep up this joy. Listening to my son lie every Christmas morning.
Lying to your son.
And lying back.
And watching him live in your false reality you've created.
Anyway, I say all that to say,
okay.
There's some truth to conspiracy theories. And a huge group of people can all keep a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The reason it worked for me was because it broke open the part of my brain that said the government could be lying about everything. And once I realized that whatever the narrative was from the government could be false, that was the idea that stuck. It didn't stick on 9/11 truth or whatever. The idea that stuck was that I can't believe everything they say. And once that broke, that's why they can't tell you when they're wrong. That's why they can't admit mistakes, is because when that breaks right there, it leads down a path of libertarianism.
And how much trust was broken during COVID? I mean, I think it opened a ton of people's eyes to be like, we can't trust the government. People who normally don't pay attention to politics, we're now paying attention to politics. And we're like, oh my God, the government's lying. What else are they lying about?
And that could happen. Like it's worse. It's been.
What about Judge Andrew Napolitano's 5-minute speech that got him fired from fire?
That's not really how he got fired
but, from Fox. Yeah. Anyway, he went on a whole tangent. Mm-hmm. Then he wrote a book called 12 Lies the Government Has Told You.
That was a good book.
Great book. Mm-hmm. All of that definitely solidified my libertarianism.
I would recommend that book to anyone who hasn't read it. It's good. I feel like this is maybe something that we should all aspire to, is getting this kind of interaction and the way that we talk to people. And we're not going to do this all the time. Okay. I'm about to call out a bunch of idiots here in just a little bit. I fully plan on making fun of people's ideas coming up here and trying to get them to retreat from the world and never show their faces again. You know, that's the nicest way I could say it.
You're all about the shame game.
Yeah. But
you don't care what Brene Brown says.
Maybe we could attempt to do a better job, especially when we see an opportunity, a potential opportunity to manipulate someone into believing what we believe.
Yeah.
Anyhow, speaking of, this is a random one. Maybe we should go to a government lie first, and then I want to show you this article. Right now, Fauci. Well, folks, as many of you know, back in 2017, my wife and I bought a house in Nashville, Tennessee. It was a massive risk, but it's turned into a massive asset for the two of us. We've spent tons of time and money remodeling and making this place our own, a comfortable place to carry us into the future with our little nieces and nephews and our family coming to visit all the time. Things like this are worth protecting, and making an estate plan now means we can gain security and peace of mind for ourselves and our loved ones. With Trust and Will, you can create and manage a custom estate plan starting at just $159. Go to trustandwill.com/GML for 10% off plus free document shipping. We're currently using Trust and Will's simple-to-use website to build our will. I'm amazed by how easy this website makes it to do something that's so important. Think about it. If something happens to my wife and I and we don't have a will, who gets to decide what happens to our assets? The government. No, thank you. I don't trust them to even resurface the roads that go to my house, let alone decide what happens to my biggest asset after I'm gone. I've seen it happen with other members of my family when they passed. They didn't have a will, and man, was it a mess for their family to get everything sorted out afterwards. I know it's not something we like to think about, but it can happen to any of us at any time. Get the peace of mind you deserve by creating your estate plan with Trust and Will, an overall rating of excellent and thousands of 5-star reviews on Trustpilot and used by hundreds of thousands of families and counting. Secure your assets and protect your loved ones with Trust and Will. Get 10% off plus free shipping of your estate plan documents by visiting trustandwill.com/GML. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/GML. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Well, it's January, so everyone's thinking new year, new me, right? But what if there are some things that you're already doing right and could just be expanded on? I started keeping a calendar at the end of last year, trying to get better organized with my crazy life schedule. Maybe you're like Charlie and you've already shed 80 pounds of extra weight and you just have a little further to go. Well, therapy helps you find your strengths so you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes that really stick. As you know, I've done therapy in the past and found it to be extremely helpful. It's not just for those that have major trauma, although it's perfect for that too. But it's also for people that want to learn positive coping skills and how to set healthy boundaries and how to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Celebrate the progress that you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com BetterHelp.com/GML today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GML. Is doing these closed door hearings in Congress and admitted in one of the recent meetings that the 6 feet social distancing thing was just made up. So it just kind of appeared and it lacks scientific basis. Now that we're not getting videos from these meetings, as your closed door meetings, and so they're trying to grill them. I don't think we're even getting all of the transcripts and all that right now. We're getting little reports of what happens inside these meetings. So it says Dr. Anthony Fauci confessed to lawmakers Tuesday that guidelines to keep 6 feet of separation, ostensibly to limit the spread of COVID-19, quote, sort of just appeared, end quote, without scientific input.
And around the world, it was 2 meters.
Yeah.
Which is almost
a little
six,
more.
A little more than 6 feet.
A little more than 6 feet.
2 meters.
Fauci, 83, revealed to the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic that the 6 feet apart recommendation championed by him and other U.S. public health officials was likely not based on scientific data. Now, you might think, well, okay, wasn't based on scientific data. It just sort of appeared. They went with it. Who cares? Not a big deal. We're just talking about 6 feet of distance between people. Can't that be good? Why would that be a bad thing? It was a really bad thing because that was one of the main reasons schools remained closed because, I mean, listen.
They couldn't practice proper social distancing.
You can't fit the same amount of children in a classroom when all of the kids have to be 6 feet apart. Like when you have 25 kids in a classroom and it was tight beforehand in a lot of schools, you can't fit all of them in there. And so this was one of the pretty important factors because they couldn't practice proper social distancing. So you get pictures like this that we're showing. If you want to watch the video on YouTube of kids sitting 6 feet apart, wearing masks, things like that. Of course, they're in a much bigger room right here because it's got to have room for all of the kids to be in there. I pulled up some article headlines. What is social distancing and how can it slow the spread of COVID-19? Latest guidance from the CDC and Johns Hopkins. I always want to say Hopkins experts on measures to curtail the coronavirus outbreak. Is 6 feet far enough for social distancing? Here's what the science says. Maybe it should be more than 6 feet.
Mm.
I don't know. You tell me.
I think everyone needs to stay in their own homes.
Yeah.
And never leave them again.
And stay 6 feet away from your family. Yeah. Inside the home also. And then this one says, it's time to get serious about social distancing. Here's how. This is from March 17th, 2020.
Mm.
Way back when. One thing I was going to, on the previous conversation, you were talking about learning about all the COVID lies. And a lot of people, I think, that is going to wake people up to the idea that the government can lie to you. It also takes time. I didn't just watch a YouTube video and then I was a libertarian immediately afterwards. You know, it takes a few years for this to happen.
He didn't start a podcast in 2010.
No. First Good Morning Liberty episode was in May of 2019. Just looked it up last night. So just so you know, May of 2019. We had another
less than a year before COVID struck.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And so, the government can lie to you. And also, they get this thing that has no scientific basis behind it, and then they just run with it, and it becomes gospel. It becomes etched in stone. You know, it's something that everyone has to follow. It becomes something that millions of children, one of the reasons that millions of children can't do in-person learning, because there's not room for all the kids, and everyone just follows it, mm-hmm. because the CDC is saying 6 feet, social distance.
Johns Hopkins,
yeah.
Lymphoma,
mm-hmm.
even said it.
And then you find out that, it was just kind of made up. We didn't have any reason.
We said something good.
Yeah. And someone said it and we were like, okay, sounds good. Whatever.
People sold stickers that they put on the grocery store floors.
Lines. People got in fights.
At the airport.
For being in there within 6 feet of them. Yeah.
When you go to a gas station now, most people still distance. I noticed that when I go to stand in a line at a gas station, people are...
Pepper sprayed, yeah.
People are still distant. You're not right next to each other in lines anymore.
No.
It's so interesting.
It's wild stuff. And so just keep in mind, the government can lie to you, and I'm looking forward to all of the other things that we're going to find out as they continue grilling Fauci. This was an interesting story that I saw on the WAPO, and I looked it up to figure out what the heck was actually going on. This Austrian, I read it as Australian first time because I Googled the population of Australia and all kinds of stuff, and I looked back at it, I was like, it says Austrian. Gosh dang it.
Yeah. Germany, basically.
Yeah, essentially.
Austria. Yeah.
Go ahead, Charlie.
All right. Austrian heiress Marlene Engelhorn announces plan for a 25 million euro giveaway.
It's about $27 million is what it comes out to.
All right. So she's setting up a citizens group to decide how she should give away much of the fortune she inherited from her grandmother. She's 31 and lives in Vienna, not to be confused with Vienna.
Which is in Illinois.
For all you local Illinoisans. Wants 50 Austrians to determine how her 25 million euro of her inheritance should be redistributed. She said, I have inherited a fortune and therefore power without having done anything for it. And the state doesn't even want taxes on it. Austria abolished their inheritance tax in 2008 because they hate poor people. One of the handful of European countries that do not impose inheritance tax or death duties. Miss Engelhorn believes that is unfair.
Yeah, very unfair.
Okay, Miss Engelhorn.
She wants to be taxed. She's upset about not being taxed.
Why don't you just give your money to the government then?
Well, she's given away almost all of her money.
She is a descendant of Friedrich Engelhorn, the founder of German chemical and pharmaceutical company BASF. BASF.
It's a pretty big company.
It is a big company. Yeah. I've seen their stuff.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
I've heard of them.
She inherited millions when her grandmother died in September of 2022. The wealth was estimated by U.S. magazine Forbes at $4.2 billion. And even before she died, her granddaughter had declared that she wanted to hand out about 90% of her inheritance. Keep 10% for the big guy.
She wants to keep 10% still.
For the big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's given away $27 million, but listen, she's still going to live in a mansion and she's still going to keep millions of dollars, essentially. And she's probably going to live off of this organization she's creating with the money also, just so you guys know. But here's what's actually happening, because you mentioned, Charlie, why don't she just give all the money to the government?
Yeah. Why not?
Because she's upset. Remember, she's upset that the government doesn't have taxes set up for this, for an inheritance tax or death duties. And so she has decided to take 90% of the money that she has and start her own foundation where people are going to decide what they should do with the money. It would be much easier if she just gave the money to the government, because that's what she is arguing should have been done in the first place. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have to start this organization that we're about to describe.
Philip wouldn't have to fill out the paperwork.
No paperwork. Less trees die in the process. Mm-hmm. And she still wants other people to decide what's going to be done with the money, not people in the government, which is the entire point.
Yeah. Well, she better pick all black people. That's what I'm saying. All the black people in Austria.
Well, so they're going to send out 10,000 invitations and essentially going to pick 50 people to run this organization, 15 substitute members. And it says if the politicians don't do their job and redistribute, then I have to redistribute my wealth myself.
Oh, my God.
Now, the politicians aren't not redistributing the wealth. They're just not taking the wealth from her. You give it to them, they're going to spend it. It's going to get redistributed.
They'll distribute it for you.
Now, what she has decided is that she doesn't like what the politicians are going to do with her money if she gives it to them.
Oh.
And so she wants to start her own organization with like-minded people who are going to decide what to do with that money instead.
But she still thinks they should tax.
She's still fighting for the money to be taken from people.
By the politicians that she doesn't like.
Against their will, and then not giving them the money. Still, because she doesn't like what they would do with the money.
Can we have a conversation with this person? Can you have an open-minded, rational conversation with someone like this? Is she a she?
I'm not sure. As they say, haircuts don't lie. But Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
In today's day and age. And by the way, we've talked about this sign before. It was on a dumb bleep, but she's at Davos holding a sign that says, "In tax we trust," which is, that's a choice. That's definitely a sign that you're an idiot. Sorry, we're not doing that today, right? Maybe she's not an idiot. Maybe she just deep down realizes.
Here's my question. The fortune was estimated to be $4.2 billion.
Well, that was just her grandmother's fortune. There could be plenty of different grandchildren.
So her cut's like
it's gotta be tons of kids. $150
million.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Her cut's like $200 million. She gives away 90%.
Well, the 90% is supposed to be this $27 million. So she didn't get a lot of money, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's actually not being super upfront about how much money she has. I looked it up. You can't actually find how much money she has. She said that she wants to give away 90%. And
she's probably keeping like $4 billion in the estate, right?
Remember, it's her grandmother who had the $4.2 billion fortune. No, but
her grandmother died.
Yeah, but there's probably plenty of family members that all got separated between. You know what I mean? And just this one is the crazy person. Dang it. That was me trying to be nice. Just them. Well, listen to how this is going to work. They're going to put this whole thing together with 50 people. The group will be asked to contribute their ideas in order to jointly develop solutions in the interests of society as a whole.
Now, what is this group's incentive going to be? To take as long as possible to figure out what to do with the money while they're making a salary.
Charlie, that is a genius response because they get paid around $1,300 for every weekend they get together to decide what to do with this person's money.
And their travel costs are covered.
Travel costs are covered, food, all that, child care, all kinds of stuff are going to be covered. And so, yeah, they do want to take as long as possible. Now, what if... Okay, there was another rule in here. Let me see.
she says she has no veto rights, and basically, if they can't come up with a widely supported decision on what to do with the money, then the money goes back to Miss Englehorn.
Yeah, if they can't decide what to do with the money, it goes back. Now, listen, she says this is a service to democracy, not giving the money to the government, handpicking 50 people to decide how to properly distribute her money towards whatever it is that they want to do. That's the service to democracy, not just giving the money to the government, which is what your entire argument is, should have been done in the first place. I guarantee you they'll take a check. They'll do it.
They will.
They'll probably take Bitcoin, doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. They'll take it from you. Oh, boy.
You could just give them your bank account number.
Yeah,
they'll just they'll siphon it. All you have to do is say, "Hey, take this out," and they already know your information.
Her team has not confirmed how much she's holding back. This is talking about her giving away 90%, although it said she was retaining some kind of financial buffer. 6 years,
probably a house, a butler.
She's gonna be fine.
Yeah,
everything she has is paid off. And she'll be able to live on the interest with the millions she's still going to keep for herself and going to be able to feel good in the process, you know? I just wanted to point out that even at the end of the day, these people who are arguing that the money should go to the government, don't just turn around and give it to the government, because they still, in their darkest, deepest heart of hearts, know that they or people like them can better decide what to do with that money than the government, because they don't like what the government's doing with it either.
Oh, how the irony strikes the fire.
I know it's a random story for today, but I just thought that was really cool. That's all we got. That's all we got today.
I thought
today.
That was great.
Yeah, it's fun. Fun stuff.
This poor girl.
poor. She's going to be so poor after this.
No, and I mean like poor girl, like I feel sorry for her that she's burdened.
Yeah, I know.
With this fortune.
Mm-hmm.
That she now herself has to figure out how to give away.
That must be tough. You just don't know.
Some people just have it rough out. You know, some people are face down in a ditch right now after shooting up a bad batch of heroin. Hoping the paramedics come by to give them some Narcan.
Yep.
But that's not as bad as Miss Engel.
This is way worse. Those people have no clue how bad life can get.
This woman's in a kerfuffle if I've ever heard one.
Yeah. This is a rough patch for her.
Yeah. I feel bad. That's a fake smile. I can tell. I can tell it's a fake smile by her. She's really trying to hold it together.
How crazy is that language? Families, what does that even say?
You know, some families like have a baby that they're all excited about. They name it Nathan and believe Nathan's going to go on to do great things.
Yeah.
And they already got the nursery ready. And, Nathan just dies in his crib one night.
Yeah.
And, and that's their sad life. But Miss Engle.
No.
Miss Englehorn here.
Not until they read this story.
No one has it as bad.
Hell no.
What a burden. What a burden she has.
All right. Tell everyone where to find us.
We should pray for her.
I already have this whole time. this whole entire episode is a prayer. We got to say amen at the end of it.
You know, some kids in Djibouti, their life, they're just walking around trying to find water.
Well, it's nice to be able to have that kind of simple life and not have all the worries of our everyday
of how to distribute
struggle,
billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's much a simpler life just to try to find water,
And then that's enough. Other people have other things to worry about after that. So, all right, man, let's go. I got to drive.
I just feel bad for this.
I know.
It's hard to end a show on such a sour note. Are we going to have a moment of silence for her?
That's what I'm doing. Stop. Let's go.
Leaving the live group and saying stop. Fed Haters Club. If you want to be a part of that, go to joingml.com. Joingml.com to be part of the Fed Haters Club.
You literally could have done that for another half hour, I bet.
I know.
And I never felt anything about it keep going at all. Watching stories. Me squirming over here, messing with cans that are empty and popping my pen over here.
Joingml.com, GodHatesFeds.com, BernieLies.com, GoodMorningLiberty.us. It's in the show notes. Just go click or don't. I don't care. Buy a shirt or not. There's hoodies out there, whatever you want, go find it, support liberty, quit being a bunch of tight pocketed, be more like Miss Englehorn.
Well, you know what they are. They're extremely selfish.
Yeah.
They need to fix that.
Yeah.
Like Sally said,
you need to find a burden of millions of dollars to give away to Good Morning Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
How about we'll reach out to Miss Englehorn here and we'll distribute it. And the way it needs to be distributed.
We could be one of the 50.
Yeah.
How disappointed are you going to be if they all agree to give it to the government? She'll be like, oh, dang it.
What we need to do is set up an inheritance disbursement company.
There you go.
Reach out to her and be like, hey, we know you're struggling with this, as all of our clients do. it's a big problem that not many people are talking about, but we understand.
Yeah.
We can distribute that money for you. Anyway, go do all the things I told you to do or don't. Share the show. If you do all that, we'll be back again on Monday for sure, not with Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Dumb bleep.
Oh, we're supposed to have dumb bleep tomorrow.
Dumb bleep tomorrow.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Nate?
We'll be fine.
All right.
We'll be fine.
We'll see.
Dumb bleep tomorrow.
Until then, I hope you have a good day and a good morning, Liberty.